Arthur Smith awoke before dawn from the disturbed sleep that sometimes troubles those who live their lives in tune with the sea. While not given over to whimsy as much as his son Gideon, Arthur had learned over the years not to ignore the insistent little voices speaking at the back of his mind. When he drew back the drapes in his bedroom and saw the thick sea mist rolling up the cliffs and making black islands of the ramshackle roofs of the fishermen's cottages, he felt a slight shiver. He would have given anything to close the curtains and return to his bed, but there was a living to be made. In the darkness, he looked into Gideon's bedroom and for a long moment observed his son. The bedsheets wrapped around him, the pale square of a penny dreadful on the rug by his bed. Arthur felt a sudden wave of love for his only remaining flesh and blood. He'd told Gideon to be fit for work this morning, but his troubled sleep still bothered him, and he didn't like that sea mist rolling in off the bay. Arthur fingered the polished piece of jet hanging around his neck on a leather thong. Gideon had found it on the beach 15 or 16 years ago and fashioned it into a good luck charm for his daddy. Arthur Smith never put out to sea without it, and he had a feeling he'd need it on this early morning more than any other. He decided to let the boy sleep. Another day of dreaming wouldn't kill anyone. The Cold Drake, like all the Sands End trawlers, was a gear ship, built 70-odd years previously on the Clyde. Arthur remembered the first time he had skippered her, taking her out beyond the bay just 3 hours after they had buried his father in St. Oswald's churchyard on the top of windblown Live Bank. As he walked along the wet stones, he could hear Milton, his old first mate, making the final preparations to the old ship.
Oh! Skipper!
Milton's lined face was framed by his oilskin hat emerging from the mist.
She's cranked up and ready to go, the old girl. We're the only ones out, you know.
More for us, then. And more fool them. We got a full crew?
Aye.
Milton squinted over Arthur's shoulder.
Now, Gideon.
Shall we get moving? Those fish won't catch themselves.
The pace of a gearship was slow, and it was 2 hours before they reached the deep waters where they could drop the nets for cod. The sun was rising somewhere ahead of them, but the fog stubbornly refused to lift, so they were little better off. Arthur applied the shaft brake, and the Cold Drake drifted in a silence that unnerved him. The nets down, Arthur settled into the wooden chair he kept on deck and lit his pipe. All there was to do was wait for the cod to flock into their nets.
Huh?
Suddenly alert, he peered around.
Anybody else hear that?
Arthur frowned. He stood and walked to the port side.
It's probably just a piece of driftwood.
Arthur leaned over and looked at the black, oily water. He stepped backward in surprise, slipping on the damp deck. His first thought was that it was a seal, such as could be seen sporting out at sea on balmy days. Seals, though, rarely clambered up the side of a trawler, as far as he recalled. The shape sat itself, hunched over, on the steel balustrade around the deck. His hand went instinctively to the jet charm at his throat, and with his other, he fumbled at his belt for his gutting knife, but it was too late. The Cold Drake was overwhelmed,